300-pound or more, and I tell you, and I was just miserable. Oh, honey, oh, thank you, Jesus. I was in a 52.
You were wearing a size 52?
Size 52.
Uh-huh.
I am in a 12.
Oh, now, come on now. You were wearing a size 52 dress.
Yes.
And you didn't diet.
Never did diet.
All right.
Finally, I started noticing something within a week.
Go ahead now. Did you get checked out by a doctor?
Yeah, the doctors can't believe me. My doctor, they said, I don't believe it. I showed them a picture. She said, if it wasn't for the picture, I wouldn't believe it. And she looked at my body. She said, what did you have, a surgery on your skin? She said, normally when you lose weight, you get wrinkles, you know, you get... She said, what? You have some skin dry too.
When you call, you're going to receive a 2-month supply of Nature's Formula Healing Herbs and a 2-month supply of Nature's Formula Cleansing Herbs. You're going to also receive 4 orders of the Nature's Formula Healing Herbs and 4 orders of the Nature's Formula Cleansing Herb. You're receiving it this holiday season only. Call right now. Get up. When you call, I want you to have your credit or your debit card ready and place your order. 1-800-280-3414. 1-800-280-3414.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord. You're listening to the Discipleship Now radio broadcast with your host, Pastor Hilton Wells. Stay tuned and allow the Holy Spirit to give you power, insight, and revelation from the Word of God to be the type of disciple that Christ has destined you to be. Listen closely, open your heart, and be blessed.
I'm addicted to this. You can learn a lot from a drug addict. A drug addict is committed. They committed to the cause. They do whatever it takes. But a lot of times we wear the name Christian, but we're not committed to the cause. A person that's really strung out on drugs, they'll do things you never think possible. They'll do things that are just out their mind. But we claim Christianity, and as soon as it gets a little rough, or we might hear a little something, well, I'm out of here. You will not grow like that. Here's the revelation I got to this morning. You can become, turn me up because I'm not going to talk any louder. You can become the type of Christian to where there's an 8 o'clock service and a 10 o'clock service and a noonday service, and you make sure to make the service. But if you stay with the service-making mentality, you never become a disciple. All you do is make the service. And imagine you do that 20 years, 30 years. You never reach the potential God has for you. All you did was make the service. Somebody tickled your ears, made you feel good about the fact that you came to church, and you went home and lived just as worldly as you've been living, but just a little bit above because you went to a service. But I wonder how Jesus is going to judge his church, and I don't mean in a negative sense, but discern, evaluate, and instruct his church on what we did during time. Did we make church a business? To where we got people in, we told them something sweet, we let them go home? Or did we take the time to really make disciples? Discipleship is hard work. Because in discipleship, we start dealing with each other's issues. And it's in your issues where you really decide if you're going to follow Christ. That's really when it comes. It's in the issues. It's in those things you disagree with God with and you disagree with his representative in. It's those things that really determine, are you going to be a disciple? Scripture. He says, if any man is going to be my disciple, he must primarily, number one, numero uno, deny himself. A lot of us got too much pride in what we believe and how we think stuff ought to be and how we think the preacher ought to be and what he ought to be saying and what ought to be going on at the church, when it's pretty clear. We all got a Bible. But if we read that Bible and obey that Bible for what it says, we can become disciples and not just service attendants. And hear me, I'm not talking about you guys. The majority of you do this. I'm just thinking about the body of Christ, and I just thought about it. We have 8 o'clock services now to get church out of the way. Nothing against anybody that has it, but done that, been to church. So what do you do with the rest of the day? But we've been so deceived to where in our minds, you know how they say the word, we got to get to the good part? The good part is everything after church. You missed it. You missed it. He is the good part. Were it not for Jehovah, you would have no enjoyment. We would even have our right mind. Ask Nebuchadnezzar, who ran the whole world. God took him down, made him crazy, long hair, crawling around like animals with long fingernails until he recognized who the good part was. When he recognized that God was the good part, he restored him in his right mind. Discipleship is where it's at. He said, go into all the world and make church attenders. Go into all the world and create a congregation of people. Go into all the world and make Baptists and Methodists and Church of God and Christ and Church of Christ and Sabbatarians and Orthodox Greeks and Rome and Catholics. He said, go into all the world and make disciples. Disciples of who? That will follow Jesus. That's what we lack in. Folk that will follow Jesus. I feel revival coming on. I'm not a denominational follower. I follow Christ. I got one amen, but the amen, I brought it with me. Amen. Because the moment you decide that I'm going to follow Jesus, there's two things that's going to happen for sure. The first thing that's going to happen is he's going to transform your heart to where you love God and love people. That's why he said, on these two, hang all the law. You can give me all 613, but on those two is where it lies. Do I love God? And that I'll open up my heart enough to love people. How many would be honest and say loving people can be difficult? You have to think through your life to say that. What do you mean, preacher? How can you say loving people is difficult? Well, the disciples said, how many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times? He said, 7 times 70. In other words, there's no limit. You have to keep forgiving. Forgive your mama, your daddy, your grandmother, amen, cousin, aunt, uncle, little brother, big cousin, best friend, amen, BFF, MFF, all of them. I got to forgive them all. Why? Because I've become a Christian. And one of the gifts imparted into us is love. So even when you don't feel like it, baby, you got to love them anyway. Even when it's tough, you got to love anyway. So what it allows us to do is to always need Jesus. That's why hymns are so beautiful. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. And the more you begin to say, I love you, Jesus, And you got to love everybody else. I worship and adore you. It opens you up to become a worshiper. Sometime we can live in a pit so long, it's hard to come out. How many want to come out of the pit today? You're in some type of pit today. And you're saying, Lord, I don't want to live here no more. I want the abundance of joy that you promised me. Because even if you got money, if you're living in a pit, that money will not be enjoyable. I want you to stand today. There's an anointing here today to pull you out of the pit. If you've been in a pit of despair, a pit of lack, a pit of worry, a pit of doubt, regardless of your pit today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, a pit of hopelessness, a pit of despair, if you come to this altar, the Holy Spirit of God is going to bring you out of that pit. And I'm going to tell you how to stay out. Once he brings you out, how to stay out. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. I just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. How do you stay out of the pit? Worship keeps you out. If I find a person that stays in a pit, and it's easy to discern, there's two reasons why they stay there. The first reason, you can play Minister Wells, is negative thinking. No matter what's being preached, they focused on the negative. They focused on what's wrong. They focused on hopelessness, despair. So it keeps them in a dark place. And that dark place becomes a way of control. They can control their environment by being in that pit. But I want you to know that Satan is in that pit with you because he's robbing you of the joy you could have by being free. He says you don't have to stay in the pit. You can be free today. Turn her up, please. You can be free. The second way after you change your thinking is to begin to praise and worship God. When you worship God, your attention changes from you and your situation to the source of all hope, the source of all joy. If you're in this line, lift your hands this morning. Lift your hands, lift your hands, lift your hands, lift your hands. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Thank you. While you're in this line, just begin to worship him. Begin to worship him. Some of you that were in your seats, that you heard the word and you were afraid or pride stepped in, you can worship him from your seats. But know them that stepped up when they came forward, they needed it bad enough. And God started working with them the moment they start stepping. Because it takes something to get out of your seat and say, I have a need.